I felt like the Holy Spirit gave me a couple different words this morning, and I just want to speak these out, and then we're going to pray at the end. And I just want to speak, you give him this time to minister to you. There are those of you that have lost hope, and there was some different reasons. There's a loss of hope for a marriage in this room. Sorry, I might get emotional, but that's just too bad. You're going to have to deal with it. There's a loss of hope for a marriage in this room, and loss of hope. Maybe you've been struggling with a sickness, and you've been holding on to hope, but you're letting go. You're losing grip. Or maybe a financial situation that you've been believing God for so many years, and you're just losing hope. And Jesus says that he has more hope for you. He has more hope than you will ever need. And he is ready and willing, with hands wide open, to give you more hope today. And I saw him standing there like this. And it was like our responsibility to get up and to go to him and take that hope out of his hands as a gift that has been given to us, and fully receive hope for that marriage that you think is broken. Hope for that financial situation that you think there's no way out of. Or hope for that sickness that the doctors might not even have hope for you. Jesus has hope this morning. So hold on to that word if that's you, because we're going to pray in a minute. There's another, and this is a real risk for me, because he showed me a lady in blue. And it was either a blue scarf or a blue necklace or something. I'm like, God, it's not winter. No one's going to have a scarf on. And when he gives you those specific words, like, you're out there, you know? But it's not about me. So I'm just going to say that. Even if you were going to wear something blue today, or you just feel like this word is for you, just grab it. But I felt like there was a lady here that was struggling with negative self-talk. And maybe a habit or something that's in your life that you despise, and that you feel like you're stuck, you feel like you're alone, you feel like you don't have the power to overcome it. But the Holy Spirit says, I want to help you. I want to remind you and partner with you that you are more than enough. And that was the word that I just kept hearing. You are more than enough. And you were made for more. So it's that more word. So if that speaks to you in any kind of way, you are made for more, and you are more than enough. Jesus just wants to minister to you today. But there's a partnership with the Holy Spirit that has to happen. A partnership with the Holy Spirit. And he's ready and he's willing to step alongside of you and empower you to get ready for more. And then there was also those, and the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about this since yesterday, but there are also those who have been listening to the wrong voice. Maybe the voice is in your head, or maybe they're your critics. You know, they could be your friends. Say, no, you shouldn't be doing that, or you're not good enough for that, or I wouldn't try that. These voices are destructive in your life, and it's not something that we should be listening to. And these could manifest in certain ways, like insecurity, this voice of insecurity. It could manifest as pride. I'm too good for that. These voices that we hear, it could manifest as despair, like nothing's ever going to change. It's always going to be like this. And the Holy Spirit is saying, no, listen to my voice. Listen to my voice. Block everyone else out. In the Bible, it says that the sheep know the shepherd's voice, and they don't listen to the voice of the stranger. There's a hired hand that wants to get our attention. There's a thief that wants to get our attention. He wants to steal what the good shepherd has for us. But we have to choose not to listen to that voice. And there are those in here that word is for you. You have to make a choice not to listen to that voice, but only listen to the voice of the good shepherd. Because he's the one that cares for us. He's the one that goes looking for us. He's the one that takes care of us and gathers us. He's the one that died for us. So we have to choose to listen to that voice only. And then last but not least, we're going to end all of this in prayer. But I want to pray together for the student retreat. Right after the service, I'm going to be taking some students with me, and we are going to meet almost 40 students out at Beulah Beach, and we're going to have a great time. Three nights of fun and a lot of really amazing Holy Spirit time services, and I'm just believing that destinies are going to be found there. And that they're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I just want to speak over them that this is that, right? That the prophet Joel spoke about, that our sons and daughters will prophesy. Because, see, they're getting ready to go back into the school systems, right? They're getting ready to go back into the place where they need revival. So we're going to just empower them and equip them and send them. So let's just pray on these things. And if that any of those words were for you, just go like this. I love to do this when I'm open to receive them from the Holy Spirit and say, God, I just want you. Just want you. So Holy Spirit, we just come to you today and we give you full access. Full access to this moment. Full access to our hearts, God. For those that have lost hope, Lord Jesus, you have so much hope for us. You are waiting. You are standing there waiting with arms full of hope. So we run to you, Jesus. We're not even hesitant. We run and we say, we will take it. We will take it. We will believe again for our marriage. We will believe again for our healing. We will believe again for the turnaround in our financial situation. Thank you, Jesus, that because you died, you can give us hope for a situation, for our new life, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for anyone in here who needs to know that they're more. God, I just speak over their life, and I just declare a new season. God, a new season in their life, that they were made for more, and they begin to see and hear your voice. As they partner with you, you're going to take them every step. You never leave us. You don't leave us alone to figure it out on us on our own, God. So I just speak life and peace to that person. As she partners with you, God, I pray for new season in her life, that she is made for more, and that she is more than enough. With the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, that those of us who have been listening to the wrong voice, we repent right now, God. We repent, Lord Jesus, because you paid a high price. You paid a high price. You made yourself the gate, God. You don't try to sneak in. You don't try to trick us, God, but you come in and you say, come to me because I am the good shepherd. So we commit right now to only listen to your voice. We will not listen to the voice of the thief who only wants to steal, kill, and destroy from our life. We will not listen to the hired hand who does not love us. But we will only listen to the good shepherd. Our voices, our attention is yours and yours alone, God. And right now, Jesus, we thank you that you are about to explode at Beulah Beach. We thank you, God, that the students that are going are being set up for a divine encounter of destiny in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, that the fullness of the Holy Spirit will be in each and every service, even at lunch, God, that they would be filled with your Spirit. I thank you for every word that comes forth. I thank you for the worship, that it would be anointed. God, I thank you that they will hear your voice, God, that destinies will be found out in that little chapel on the lake, and that your world, this world, will be transformed by the students there. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. 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 Well, thank you for letting me do that. You know, when we ask the Holy Spirit to move, we've got to let him. Well, I am very excited to be here. Great privilege just to talk to you and speak into your life. I count it as a high honor. And so before I get into the message, I just wanted to reiterate just some important things that are going on. The Slavic Village Outreach, I am super excited about this. Pastor Clarence and Pastor Karen and our other pastoral team, we have decided to partner with Bethel Cleveland and Church on the Rise and go into one of the hardest hit areas in Cleveland, up in Slavic Village, very close to here, and just bless them. Just have a big back to school party and bless them. So each one of you are invited to go. I will be there August 12th and we will go and just love on the kids. We'll give away backpacks. There'll be inflatables and face painting, and it's just a really good way to get out into our city streets and just to love others that need loved. So please join us. Visit the table out there. Sign up to go. And then our guide summit. I know I'm doing a little bit of announcements, but we really need you there. Because as you will see, we are building community together. And if you're not there, we don't have the fullness of our family. Right? So we need you to come, find out where we're headed, find out where we're going, get connected, help us build this culture. Our cities are waiting. Our cities are waiting for the disciple of Jesus to show up. And that's what we're doing. We're creating this community of love. And if you can cook, please sign up to bring a dish. We want to share our different specialties, and we're going to celebrate all of our cultures that we have all across our church families, and have a really great international kind of flair to the day. So that is on August 6th, and it's at our Wycliffe campus. Has anybody not been to our Wycliffe campus? It's a really beautiful place. It's got trees and a little pond and a gazebo, and it's really beautiful. So please come out, join us. We're going to have a picnic. It'll be fun. But as you know, last time I was here, we talked about community, and that's what we're focusing on these next couple months. We're talking about building a community that everyone wants to belong to. And sometimes we need to take care of some walls that we've had. Remember, we talked about that, because it's easier to stay by ourselves sometimes because people are messy, right? And we got to admit, we make a mess too. But it's time for us to see the value in one another and be willing to take a risk and be vulnerable. So today I wanted to talk a little bit more about how Jesus created community. So we're going to go back into John, the end of John, I think it was 17, where he took the disciples up to the upper room. And I took a look at that entire passage. I started, I believe, in like verse 13, and I just looked at it and thought, I want to get into the disciples' head. I want to know what they were thinking and what they were expecting up in that upper room. What did they really think was going to happen when they went into Jerusalem? And so if you would just give me the grace to read a paraphrase, like I took that section of the Bible and I said, you know what, I'm going to write something that kind of gives you a good picture of what the disciples could have been expecting to happen as they went up to celebrate the Passover. So it's not the Bible. Don't get mad at me. Don't quote me, but it's just a fun way to look at what the disciples may have been thinking. So, looking through the eyes of the disciples during the few weeks before Passover, we see this momentum building. People were talking. There was a murmuring and a rumbling about Jesus being the promised Messiah. He had just raised Lazarus from the dead. I mean, this guy was dead for 3 days. This is why many of the people decided to follow Jesus. See, the tide was turning, and the disciples could have thought, man, this is redemption time. This is what these last 3 years have been all about. Finally, Jesus was going to take over. Finally, they would be free from Roman oppression. After all, his fame was starting to build, right? Accommodations were getting better and better and better. Just the other day at Lazarus' house, Mary and Martha served a really great meal. Mary honored Jesus with a very expensive bottle of perfume. Do you know that if you take that perfume today, it was worth about $45,000? Crowds showed up at the home of Lazarus just to see the two of them together. Now even more of them believed. The momentum was building. The disciples must have been in awe and excited. The very next day confirmed what they were feeling. They were going into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And on their way, they were met with a great crowd. People with palm branches laying them down before Jesus as he enters the city. And what were they yelling? They were actually reciting the festival psalms. The festival psalm, the one that talked about the coming Messiah. They were declaring him as King of Israel. They were singing it to Jesus. So the disciples had been so, they must have been so excited. They must have had these scenarios running through their heads, thinking, man, this is it. Everything's about to break loose. He's about to take over. He must have a plan. He must be going to tell us everything at dinner. What is my part in this? When they arrived at the city center, there were people everywhere. Jerusalem was the place where everyone came to celebrate the Passover. People from all over traveled to be near the temple for this special time of year. And a few of the Greek Jews approached Philip. They had heard about Jesus and wanted to meet him. So Philip and Andrew grew excited because people were talking. He was beginning to build this fame. They approached Jesus only to meet a response that was unexpected and a little confusing. He acknowledged the coming glory, but then he started talking about dying and being raised up. Just when they thought they knew what was happening, just when they thought they started figuring things out, Jesus starts heading in another direction. Still, they were looking forward to the Passover meal. The meal was prepared. The room was a private room borrowed from someone in the city. And the disciples must have been excited, watching and waiting to see what the night would hold. This was special. The setting was all prepared. The huge table had enough room for all 13 of them. I'm sure they were careful as they approached the table. Where would they sit? Who was to sit next to Jesus? Who was in that place of honor? And I'm sure the thoughts went back to James and John's mother, who tried to push for them to have a special place. How dare she? How dare she ask for her sons to be at the honored place, sitting right and left of Jesus? So seats were taken. And as the disciples finally settled in for dinner, they noticed Jesus is taking off his robe. What is he doing? Why is he tying that towel around his waist? Wait a minute. No. Wait, could he be? Why is he pouring this water into the basin and walking towards us? You know, we had all wondered who was going to serve us. Since the room was rented, we wondered if it came with the servant. Who would take care of our feet? But none of us expected this. We were all wondering who would give in and do the dirty work, right? Trying to avoid it at all cost. But none of us expected Jesus to be the one. Wow, this is embarrassing. This is humbling. Maybe it's because, again, he overheard us arguing about who would be the greatest in his kingdom. After all, we've seen the rumblings. We've heard the crowds of people declaring him as king. But Jesus reasoned with us the exact opposite of what we believed to be true. He said, the greatest among us should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. Then he says, like I serve you, as he fell to his knees and began to wash my dirty feet. You see, Jesus created culture. He created community everywhere he went. And he did it in such a way, he built his kingdom in such a way that it was totally unexpected. Upside down. An upside down kingdom. Unpredictable, but it was undeniable. You could not deny when Jesus showed up. He chose to be the example to them. And he chooses to be an example to us. It would set the stage for their future, the disciples' future, that they would serve to create a community called the First Church. And he sets an example for us to create a community right here in Valley View, right here in Cleveland, Ohio. We are called to live like Jesus lived. We are all responsible. None of us can get out of it. Sorry, even if you're a visitor here, sorry. Right? We're all called to create this community of love because we're all a part of the body of Christ. We are a whole body, and we talked about that last time as well. We learned how important it is to build relationship with one another, to care for one another. And now Jesus shows us how to serve one another in love. It's how we build this community that we all want to belong to. Serve one another in love. So today when you came in, I know you noticed everybody was talking. There's towels on the chairs. And if you're sitting towards the back, you might not have gotten a towel. So if you have not gotten a towel, please just slip your hand up. And some of the extra ones around, maybe we can just pass them towards the back. Oh, they are on top of it. Thank you guys so much. But I wanted you to have this towel to remember how Jesus set an example for us to serve with a servant's heart. See, he led as a servant, and he calls us to lead as a servant. And instead of taking time to make you sign up to do something in the church, that's not what I'm doing. I'm not going to ask you to text serve. While those are all really good, I want to talk today about living with the heart of a servant. Because we start serving at home when we wake up in the morning. Right? We serve in the grocery store. We serve our boss at work. We have to learn how to live with this servant's heart. It's easy to serve without a servant's heart. It's easy to go through the motion, even in ministry, go through the motion. Be real busy as a Christian without having the heart of a servant's heart like Jesus did. It's sort of like having a towel, but never getting it dirty. Sort of like having a towel crisp and clean, our ministry, right? Our serving, I'm putting my time in, I'll even work in the nursery. But our heart, it never gets dirty because our heart isn't fully a servant's heart. Do we ever truly serve like Jesus calls us to? So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at like how Jesus served, how he gave us an example of a servant's heart. And there are five specific ways that Jesus modeled a servant's heart. There may be more. And if you want to do that research and come and show me, I would love to learn more. Because this is a good word for me. And I've been allowing the Holy Spirit to prick my heart as well. But the first towel that we're going to look at today is compassion. Compassion. Jesus led with compassion. Compassion is the feeling of sympathy or empathy. We could have guessed that, right? But here's the catch. And feeling of sympathy or empathy, and the action to do something to help. So you can't have compassion and not do anything. Compassion demands action. Jesus was moved by compassion. Look it up in the Gospels. Four times specifically it says Jesus was moved by compassion. His compassion caused him to do something. First time is when he heard the yells of the blind men. And he went over and he healed them. He was moved by compassion and he went to them and he healed them. The second time was when he saw the crowd like a sheep with no shepherd. He saw the crowd and he did something about it. He taught them. He was moved by compassion and he changed his schedule. He changed what he was about to do, and he went over and he taught them. He was with the crowd for 3 days. Remember that story? What did he do? He was moved by compassion because they were hungry, and he fed them. See, compassion causes us to do something. Last but not least, in case you just want to know, when he saw the multitudes who needed healing and wholeness, he prayed for them. And he sent his disciples out. So he was moved to compassion to do something when he saw a need. You know, compassion is really interesting to me. Because you can have compassion one day, and then like the next day, it's a little cold, isn't it? Like our compassion kind of wears out, maybe because we're tired or we're too busy. But you know what? I believe we are required as followers of Jesus to keep a finger on our compassion pulse. to keep a finger on our compassion pulse, that we don't just drive by the homeless people and go, oh, bless them, Jesus, because I know they're probably making $300 a day anyways, right? No. Compassion should move us to do something. And if it doesn't move us to do something, we've got to do something. We've got to ask the Holy Spirit to move us, to help us, again, feel with a heart of compassion so that we can serve like Jesus served. Amen? So does our compassion compel us to serve one another? That's the thing we need to ask ourselves. One other thing about compassion, and I'll move on. We have to practice it. We have to practice compassion. You know, we have to really be aware of how we're feeling and acting towards people that need us or people that need sympathy and empathy. We need to have that compassion for them and practice it. And you know what the best place to practice it is? At your house. It's the best place to practice it, right? I could tell you countless story after story after story. And it's usually not even like big deal, like getting my husband coffee. Yeah. My compassion gets cold sometimes, right? Or being nice to my dog. Yeah. real stuff, right? Real talk. But that's how we practice compassion. That's how we practice this heart of the servant. So Jesus took his towel of compassion. This is where it gets fun. Oh, I got to put my gloves on. Hold on. Jesus took this towel of compassion, and he just didn't talk about it. He just didn't know about it or teach about it, right? He actually did something about it. He took his towel of compassion, and as we saw, he went and he fed the people, right? He prayed and he sent the disciples to meet the need. He did what he had to do, and he got his towel dirty. He made a decision to get his towel dirty. He didn't just talk about compassion. He just didn't learn about compassion, but he worked it, right? He did something to say, you know what? I'm going to live with the heart of a servant. I'm not satisfied just to know about it, but I want to apply it to my life. I want to make the heart of a servant who I am. That's the towel of compassion. The next towel is surrender. Jesus modeled the towel of surrender. And that simply reminds us to ask ourselves, do we have the right motivation to serve? It's all about motivation, right, when we serve. In Galatians 5:13, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. See, many people serve with the need for significance, right? Many people serve for the need of approval. Many people pick up, they're searching for a title. They don't want this towel. They want a title. They're not serving with the towel of surrender. They're serving with the need for themselves. That's not the heart of the servant. When we get caught up with what we need, when we get caught up with the things like, I need to prove myself. I need to prove that I'm good enough for this. No. No, Mary. Right? You serve. You serve in the assignment that God's given you. You get everything you need from what Jesus did on the cross for you. You don't need anything from anyone else when you're serving. We serve with a servant's heart. You know, we're always looking, and it's the world. The world has taught us the wrong model. They've taught us when you're out in that corporate world, you climb that ladder, right? You make a way for yourself. You be confident and you make things happen. That's not what Jesus did. It's an upside down kingdom. So instead of climbing the corporate ladder, I'm going to say build the ladder. Build the ladder for someone else, for your brother or sister, so they can get up. If we're all building ladders for each other, can you imagine? That's an awesome community. In Romans 12, 1 through 9, after describing all the gifts and functions of the body of Christ And I'll encourage you to read it. We're not going to read the whole thing. But it tells us of the gifts and the functions and how we all work together and how we're all so important to one another. And guess what Paul ends it with? He said, but your love must be sincere. Your servant's heart of love towards one another, it's got to be the real thing. We have to be honest with ourselves and surrender our own needs for significance and position with sincere love. We have to be so secure in our identity and who the Father says we are that we don't need anything from each other. I mean, it's nice to encourage one another, and I love it when I'm encouraged, but I don't need that because I'm a daughter of the King, right? You are a son and daughter of the King. You can surrender that need for significance. Lay it right at the cross and let Him tell you who you are. So when we serve from that pure heart, from a heart of surrender, and we get our towel dirty and we say, you know what, I don't need anything. I just want to serve. Serve with the pure heart. Serve with the motive. Now we've gotten our towel dirty like Jesus did. And we can live with this heart with one another and create a community that everyone wants to belong to. The next one, the third one, how am I doing on time? I'm going to finish in like 5 minutes. The last. Jesus said that the last will be first and the first will be last. While we serve, are we willing to take last place? Are we willing to take backseat? Are we willing to take the worst job, right? Or do we want the one on the platform? Or do we want the one in charge? Or do we want the easy job, right? I don't want to sweat. What? It's hot. No. We can take the last place as with the heart of a servant. You know, there's a beautiful story about Mother Teresa, and some of you might have heard this story, but Shane Claiborne wrote a book called The Irresistible Revolution. It's a really good book, but don't read it unless you want your life to change. So, but he interned with Mother Teresa. Could you imagine? I mean, that's an internship. So he's in India, Calcutta, India, and he is wondering, after seeing Mother Teresa's feet, why they were so deformed. Like, because they took off their shoes when they prayed. And he didn't understand. Her feet were all shriveled up, and they looked like they had been deformed somehow. And he finally got up the courage to ask a friend that was interning with him, or the staff there, and he said, "Why? What happened to her feet?" And they explained to him, they said, you know, throughout the years, they rely on shoe donations. And so every time a box of shoe donations would come in to the place where she served, she would wait until the last pair of shoes were in the box. And then she would take those shoes for her own feet. And it didn't matter if they were the wrong size, and it didn't matter if they were the right support. She would put those shoes on her feet, and she would go about her ministry in serving. And eventually, her feet became deformed. She chose to be last. And Jesus admonishes us, be last. The heart of the servant will choose to be last. We pick up the towel of last and we say, it doesn't matter that I have to wait. It doesn't matter that I have to be stuck with the gross stuff, right? And I feel like I'm preaching to the choir here because we have so many mature, loving believers in this place that you really do set a good example for the next generation and for those that know you, helping to clean the church. You know, helping to work with the babies. These are positions that aren't so glamorous, but you serve. You choose the last place. The next towel is sacrifice. This is a good one. The towel of sacrifice costs us something, right? It costs us something. We look back at the Last Supper, and you think about it. Every single one of the disciples had an opportunity to go grab a towel and start helping. It was common practice to wash your feet before you ate dinner because they had sandals, and there was no cement or concrete, and they were walking in the dirt, so their feet were dirty. So it was common practice to have someone or clean your feet yourself. Not one of the disciples chose to pick up that towel. They could have made the sacrifice, right? Because it takes sacrifice. When we choose to serve, we will often lose something. Sometimes we lose our time. Sometimes we lose our money. Sometimes we lose our comfort, right? It's my Saturday. Come on. I don't want to go do that. We're human. But when we choose to make the sacrifice, we are the one that's usually blessed. And I think back on Joshua Kids, and we've been doing camp for many, many years. I've probably been going for about 20 years. And for about 20 years as well, a man named Myron Board, every year, he was Ohio State Trooper. He was retired now and in Florida. But every year he would take his vacation, and he would go to camp and spend it with 10 little stinky boys. He sacrificed his vacation to serve these kids. And it was such a blessing to them. And one year we thought we wanted to surprise him. We wanted to just bless him and bring his wife out and let him go on a little date after chapel one day. And so we were so proud of our surprise. And Myron, well, he loves his wife dearly. He had already made the sacrifice to lose his vacation, to lose his time with his wife, and to spend it and invest in these kids. But he decided to go, and they had a quick date. It was a very short date because he had made the sacrifice to be with those boys. So before long, after kissing his wife goodbye, he went back and he put his own boys to bed, and they were ready for the next day. But he made a sacrifice. His vacation every year was sacrificed, just like Jesus makes the sacrifice when he serves, when he served us, and he showed us how to model, how to be the heart of a servant who sacrifices to serve one another. It'll cost us something, but we can get our towel dirty, and we can serve like Jesus did. Serve one another, serve our families, make a sacrifice for one another, and say, you know what, I'm going to live like Jesus because I'm committed to build this community of love. And finally, the least. The towel of the least. You know, Leonard Bernstein, he's a celebrated orchestra conductor. And one day he was asked, what's the hardest position, the hardest instrument to play? And immediately he responded and he replied, he said, second fiddle. He said, I can always get plenty of people to play first violinist. But to find one who plays second violin with as much enthusiasm, or to find one that plays second French horn, or to find one that would play second flute, now that's a problem. Yet, if no one plays second, there's no harmony. Isn't that the truth? Like, nobody wants to prefer. Nobody wants to play second, be in the background. That's not a fun place to be. It's not fun to be the least in the room, right? We've been taught, we've been told, it's been hammered into us, be the best, be the top dog, right? No, Jesus says, no, that's not how it works. Let me show you how to serve with the heart of a servant. Let me show you how to get on your knees and wash someone's feet. Let me show you how to get your towel dirty. Be willing to be the least of these, to serve like the least of these. In Philippians 2, 1 through 8, and I'm going to read all of this and then I'll finish. If you find any comfort from being in the anointed, if his love brings you some encouragement, and if you experience true companionship with the Spirit, if his tenderness and mercy fill your heart, then brothers and sisters, here's one thing that would complete my joy. Come together in one heart and mind and spirit and purpose, sharing in the same love. Don't let selfishness and prideful agendas take over, but instead embrace true humility and lift your heads to extend love to others. This one's pretty strong. Verse 4, it says, get beyond yourselves and protecting your own interests. Be sincere and secure your neighbor's interests first. In other words, adopt the mindset of Jesus. Live with his attitude in your hearts. So what is the mindset of Jesus? The mindset of Jesus is that even though he had every right, that he was God, he had every right to come down and take over. He had every right to show up and claim Jerusalem as his, because he was the king. He is the king. But he chose to come as a servant. He chose to come as the least. Look in the rest of the verse. It says he poured himself out to fill a vessel brand new, a servant in form and a man indeed, the very likeness of humanity. He humbled himself, obedient to death, a merciless death on the cross. This is the towel of the least. It's the towel of humility. It's not an I don't do windows kind of attitude, right? It's like I don't do children kind of attitude, right? I did that 20 years ago. Thank you very much. I said it myself. No, it's finding a need and it's doing what it takes. It's picking up the towel of the least in humble servant's heart. Can you imagine? Let me do this really quick because we gotta just remember this. This is how we serve with a humble heart. We get our towel dirty and we say, you know what? I'll do whatever it takes. Whatever position's left open, just put me somewhere. Just let me help. Just let me serve. Can you imagine if we all picked up the towel every day and we served each other like Jesus did? Can you imagine what the body of Christ would look like? We would be so attractive. Man, people would be knocking down our doors like, wait a minute, what is different about you guys? Right? I want to belong to this community. I don't see anybody looking for titles. I don't see anybody playing for hierarchy. All I see is everybody is loving and serving one another. They are going to want to come into and join us in our community when we get this, when we learn to live with a servant's heart. We are always ready to have compassion, to surrender our needs, right? To be willing to be the last, to make a sacrifice and to walk in humility. That's what living with a servant's heart is. When we attempt to serve without the true heart of a servant, we end up resenting the sacrifice we made. We end up burnt out and tired, right? We end up jealous for the more glamorous job or position. And that's why I gave you a towel today, because I wanted you to remember, put it by your bed or by your Bible, put it in a place where you can remember that today, tomorrow, the next day, every day, we all have a responsibility to pick up that towel and to use it like Jesus used it. To be willing to get it dirty, to be willing to make a sacrifice and say, you know what, it's not about me today, it's about you, Jesus. Open my ears, let me hear your voice and your voice alone. Let me be willing at a moment's notice. Have you noticed how those moments slip by this fast? This fast. This is why we have to practice. Because we'll go, oh, I should have. Oh, I could have. You know, sometimes, this is what I do. When I miss those moments, I make myself turn around and go back. Even if it's more awkward this time than the last time, I don't care. Next time, I'll remember to do it when I hear the Holy Spirit the first time. I make myself go back. Sometimes I've gone back to the store like hours later and talked to the lady at the checkout. I was supposed to say this to you, right? When we are supposed to serve, we need to do it right then. We can get better at it. We can get better at it. So let's take our towels home. And every time we see them, we're going to decide to get them dirty. Amen? Well, if we have a worship team or, yeah, Chris, you're coming? No. We could do a CD too, whatever we're doing. Thank you. I want to invite Catherine to come up. Catherine Sears is our Heidi Baker. I always call her that. She gets mad at me, but she is an amazing woman. She has gone all over the world, and she is leaving tomorrow?
Thursday.
She's leaving Thursday for a 3-country trip. She's going to start in England, go back to Nepal, and see our friends in Nepal, probably meet new ones. And then last Sunday, this divine connection for India showed up and sat right on our front row, literally, and invited her to come to India. And it was like, you asked, should I go? I'm like, oh, probably. If God put somebody here right on the front row to introduce Catherine to the opportunity to go to India, because I know it's been a lifelong dream of yours. So I would love for the pastors to come up and let's all pray for her and send her. Yes, give her a hand. You're going to be gone till...
I will be gone 7 weeks.
7 weeks she's going to be gone.
Will you miss me?
We will miss her, for sure. We will definitely miss her. And, you know, I want you to extend your hands out, but if you want to extend your hand out with a cash gift after the service, you're welcome to do that. Because I traveled with this lady. She is amazing. She goes over there, and she serves with a servant heart. She does not stay in the best places. She doesn't look for the easiest way. But she goes, and every single person she comes in contact with hears about Jesus. Every single person. So we are blessed when we send her, because our gifts and our prayers can actually touch people across the world. So thank you for letting us partner with you. So, Pastor Clarence, do you have the microphone? Adrian, do you mind running it up? There we go. And you can help me pray if you don't mind. Do you mind praying? Okay. Yeah, you pray, and I'll close out because I just want to bless her. So reach your hand out. Let's pray for Catherine. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Bless her, God.
Father, we just want to thank you right now. Mm-hmm. We thank you, Father, that we are representing mm-hmm. you today through our own evangelist, Catherine Sears.
Yes, God.
And Lord, as she goes on this trip, yes. we ask that you would go with her. We ask that you would open her heart to be able to be a blessing to those that she comes in contact with. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Father, we pray right now that you would put a special anointing on her life. In Jesus' name. Anointing that will remove burdens and destroy yokes. In Jesus' name. Father, we ask that you move mountains out of her way. In Jesus' name. Make crooked places straight. In Jesus' name. Every area and every ground that her foot treads upon, we ask that you bless it right now in Jesus' name. Begin to open doors that appear to be closed. We ask that you make ways where there appear to be no ways in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask that you would help the people to receive her unto themselves in Jesus' name. Let the words of her mouth and the meditation of her heart be acceptable in your sight in Jesus' name. That they would receive a word, that they would receive you as their Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to help them to understand the words that they hear out of this vessel in Jesus' name. Speak through her, Lord. Speak through her mouth. Use her mouth, her lips, her eyes, her ears in Jesus' name, that she would hear what you have for her to say in Jesus' name. Father, we claim souls for you in Jesus' name. We claim thousands of souls for you in Jesus' name. We come against every demonic force that would try to hinder or help to keep her from doing the job that you've called her to do in Jesus' name. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you right now that as she goes, she walks in victory in Jesus' name. Every demonic spirit, every demonic force that will come against her, your words say you've given her power and authority over all demons and over all demonic forces that will come against her. She's walking in victory in Jesus' name. Let your light shine through her today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you right now as you make the way for her. Bless her, Lord, in every way in Jesus' name. Lord, help her to not be fearful and doubt and no worry, Jesus' name. Open up financial doors for her, Father, in Jesus' name, that the money that she needs will be there, that it would miraculously appear in Jesus' name, that every need would be met, every need would be supplied in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father. Help them to receive her. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Her work is finished. Her work is done right now. It is done. We claim it even though it hasn't happened. We speak those things that be not as though they were. She has victory in every area, in every place that she chances to in Jesus' name. It is done. It's done right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, have your way in Jesus' name. Bless her. Thank you, Lord. We pray your blessings in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. If you want to come up and bless Catherine, is that okay if you stay up close to here and they can come and just say hi to you and pray for you and give you a gift? But we would love to just pray for you if you need prayer. So any of the altar ministers that are here, could you just please join us up front? And if you need hope today, or if you need someone to agree for healing in your body, we want and believe that God can heal you. So please do that. Let's stand up. And as you do that, take your towel with you. Remember that you are, the CDs are out there. Do not forget to go out. And Antonio is sitting right there. Just let him know how much of a blessing he was to us today. And buy some CDs. Buy one to give to somebody too. Because there's a really strong anointing on that worship. So it's good. Good stuff. Well, please come if you need prayer and bless someone around you. But we are so thankful that you're here today. Have a great week. Bye-bye.